Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Donator, and I'm broadcasting from Marin County, California. My guest for today's show is Vicki Savini. Vicki Savini is a mindful teacher who has been educating, enlightening, and empowering children and adults to be their absolute best for over 20 years. Vicki inspires children to speak their truth and believe in themselves while helping adults to heal the inner child and understand the overall importance of childhood. As a public school teacher, Vicki began to teach mindful principles in her classroom long before it was acceptable or considered acceptable. She is a dynamic and inspiring speaker who empowers children and adults through individual consultations, group workshops, and public speaking. Vicki has experience not only in the fields of psychology and education, but also in the healing arts and overall wellness. She is a science of mind practitioner, Reiki energy worker, and talented intuitive life coach. Vicki uses her real-world experiences and eclectic training to educate, enlighten, and empower individuals to believe in themselves and live their truth. Her inspiring book, Ignite the Light, was released on May 6, 2014 by Hay House and can be ordered on Amazon. For more information on her services, please visit her website at www.vickisavini.com. That's VickiSavini.com. Welcome, Vicki.
Hello there. It's so wonderful to be here with you today.
Oh, thank you. I'm really, really excited to have you on the show and not only to talk with you myself, but for the listeners to hear about what you have to say, because I really have to say I love your book and I really loved meeting you at the 2013 Ignite I Can Do It in San Jose. So I'm excited to talk with you today.
Me too. I loved meeting you at that conference as well. You know, you always know when you meet someone that they have good energy, pure energy, and that's definitely what you have. So I was so happy to meet you as well.
Oh, thank you for saying that. But that is exactly how I felt about you, about this pure energy. And you're right about when you meet people in person. It's wonderful to meet them through Facebook. It's wonderful to meet them on a phone call or whatever. But when you meet them in person, you can really feel their energy. And the energy that you and your friend who is leading the workshop for the event had was just so pure and so golden. And I just actually wanted to spend more time with you guys.
Yeah, I wish we could have. That weekend was so crazy. We were just running around all the time, and if we weren't with the girls, we were running off to eat and then getting back to the girls. So we felt bad because we didn't have as much time to spend with you as well. But we were teaching important lessons.
Oh, totally. And in fact, you know, what we need to do is mention what you were teaching during that conference, because you weren't one of the regular speakers at that particular conference. They were doing 20-minute talks. All these new Hay House authors were doing 20-minute talks each, and one right after another, which is fascinating. But it was also, I wish they'd give you like a 5-minute break in between, Vicki, because, you know, seriously, it's like you'd finish with one, and then the next one was on the stage. And I was taking notes. I was reviewing the conference for Hay House, and I'm taking notes, and I'm thinking, God, I haven't even finished thinking about what I was just hearing, and
processing.
Then the next one's on.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, thank God for the fact that they have those USB bands so that you can rewatch some of them later and actually get it.
Yeah, I don't even think they're using that format anymore because it was modeled after the TED Talks, and I think the TED Talks are one thing and it's wonderful, but at the conferences for Hay House, it's much different. You know, people are coming there for a specific purpose or to really grow as a human being, and when you go to a conference to do that, you do need some time to process the information that's coming to you so that it's not just surface, but so that it really does sink in and it does touch your soul. And when we're not given those moments or that time to really quiet our own minds and just feel what we need to feel, we're not getting exactly what we could out of the experience. So I do believe that they have changed that. I've noticed that.
That's really good. I'm glad. You know, I think that both have some value, definitely, and I've been to quite a few of the regular I Can Do It conferences. I went to my very first one in 2005 in Las Vegas and went to four of them there, 2005, 6, 7, and 8. And I actually loved going to the ones in Las Vegas because of the fact that, well, first of all, I had never been to Las Vegas before that very first I Can Do It that I went to there. And I was inspired to go there for my mom. She had been diagnosed with lung cancer and heart problems. And so I wanted to go and meet Louise and find out what I could do to help her heal. And so I went all by myself. First time I'd gone on a trip without my husband and son, and went to Las Vegas and just absolutely loved the I Can Do It conference so much. And you're right, I love that we would get to choose workshops, and on Friday we could do an all-day workshop with someone, and I chose that very first one. I had an all-day workshop with Abraham Hicks, and I noticed in your book that you have some quotes from Esther and Jerry and Abraham in there, and I had read their book, Asking It Is Given, but I was just a little skeptical about whether I would enjoy the workshop, and I couldn't believe it. Talk about the energy feeling positive and pure. Yeah. That whole day in the workshop with them was just awesome. And then, of course, having the workshops that are 2 hours long that you get to choose with your favorite authors, the hardest thing is choosing which ones. But it's great having 2 hours with each of the authors. So,
well, and here's the thing. When people go to those workshops, whether it's a Hay House workshop or it's a conference by another company, you know, they're going because they want to change something in their lives, or they're looking for a solution to a problem that they see that they have. And it's because they don't have the tools in their imaginary suitcase to really help them through life at that point. And so what I do is I give children tools at a very young age that we often seek out as adults. So I talk about this in my book, that there are 7 essentials to creating a strong foundation. And most of us, we're not given all of those essentials. And that's normal. And it's not to say that our parents did a bad job, but they did the best that they could with what they knew. And so we go to these workshops because we're trying to fill our own toolbox so that we can navigate the waters of life. And my work really surrounds giving children these tools at a young age, teaching them that what matters most is how they see themselves, that we don't need the approval of anyone else outside of ourselves as long as we can look in the mirror and we can like the person who's staring at us. And teaching them really to believe in themselves and speak their truth, knowing how to quiet their minds enough so that they can actually hear their soul speaking as opposed to the voices and the tapes that they've picked up over the years.
Oh, Vicki, that is fantastic. And it really does sum up your book. I've been reading your book. I'm almost finished with it. I'm not totally finished with reading it, but I really, really love it. And I love how you help, as a parent, I'm a parent. I have a 24-year-old son. And so for me, I'm reading it both from the perspective of being a parent, being a mom, and looking back on not only my own childhood, but looking back at his childhood. And the way you've written the book is in a way where I really think that anyone, whether they have children or not, could benefit from it. And one of the things that I love that you said in the book was that for anyone who has children that they serve or serves children, and that can be like as a teacher, like you said, or as a parent, or even as an aunt or uncle, or you know, someone who just enjoys children and works with them in other ways.
Yeah. Well, you know, my son, I have an 8.5-year-old, and he has always centered me in many different ways, because when I feel that I've been disconnected from spirit, it's him who has somehow gotten me back on the track. And it's interesting because he's really taught me that I need to listen to him, and sometimes he comes out with little things. I remember at one point he said to me, well, Mommy, I remember being in heaven. I remember all of this stuff because it wasn't so long ago that I was there, but I think grown-ups forget it. And it just made me smile because I'm not a religious person, so I don't talk to him about God or heaven or any of that. I want him to feel his own feelings and be in tune with spirituality on his own. And so mm-hmm. when he comes up with things like this, I just look at him and I smile because I know he's speaking his truth. And our children have so much to teach us. And I think my son is right on. You know, they remember before choosing to come to this earth, before coming here, they knew they had a plan or a blueprint, as I talk about in my book.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're
mm-hmm.
still focused on that. And as they grow and as they get older, they start to take on the habits and the behaviors that we already have as adults. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes those aren't great habits and behaviors to have because we're forgetting who we truly are.
Oh, that is so true. And I remember before our son was born, about 5 years, I think it was, I got tapes by Wayne Dyer called What Do You Really Want for Your Children? And I remember listening to those, and because I had wanted to have children a lot earlier than I did and ended up only having one. But just, you know, just to be able to have them in your life is just such a treasure. And, you know, to be honest with you, the hardest thing has been since he left to go to college and he's down working in Southern California. We're in Northern California. And you're right. I loved that time when he was growing up and the really early years all the way through when he graduated from high school. It was just so much fun. And he brought so much of the joy of living into our lives and being mm-hmm. in the present moment. And I just love having that here. And so that's been, for me, the challenge is the last few years is letting go of the fact that thinking of myself as a mom on a daily basis in that way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and you're still a mom to him and really to all the children that you come across. And it's hard to make that transition, though, that they're older. I mean, even with my son getting close to 9, he's so much
mm-hmm.
more independent. And
mm-hmm.
the other day we were talking, and I said, Nico, you know, I feel like we're not doing all of the things we used to do during the day, and you're growing up, and I really miss you. And he looked at me, and he was so cute, and he goes, Mommy, I got to hang with my friends, but you know I still love you.
Oh, you know, Vicki, it's so funny because you're almost making me cry because I could just picture Xander, our son. He was Alex all the way until he was 18. His name's actually Alexander, but we always called him Alex. And when he went away to college, he turned it into Xander, Z-A-N-D-E-R, because there were so many Alexes. But so I call him both in case you get confused. I only have one son. He just has two names. But, I can just picture him saying that, too. And he needs that time to be on his own.
Yeah.
And we've always been, the three of us, he and his dad and I, like a fun-loving tripod. And
yeah,
so,
yes,
you know,
I know. I get that.
Yeah. And so, you know, in order for him to be on his own and to really live his own life and become his own person, he really needed to be away from us because, you know, we all have so much fun together. We just all hang out together forever probably otherwise, and that wouldn't be good for him either. So I realize that.
But, you know, it is so nice when you stand back and when they don't know that you're watching and when you hear them or you see them do something that you may have taught along the way but you weren't sure that they received the message. And
mm-hmm.
then you see that they not only understood the message but it's really a part of who they are. To me, that is just so heartwarming, and it validates that I've done a nice job with him thus far, but it also just makes me feel like I'm on the right track and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And that was another reason for my book, was that in our society, we are so busy. There's no other word for it. We're just busy.
Oh,
I know. We're working. We're on the computers. We're on the phone. We're like, you know, never in the moment. And
mm-hmm.
and so life is passing us by, and oftentimes I'll have parents come to me and say, you know, Mrs. Savini, my child just can't settle down, or I don't know why they're acting out like this. And I'll look at them and sit down and say, okay, well, let's talk about life and how it is. And the more they talk,
mm-hmm.
it becomes blatantly evident that their child is feeling unimportant or they're feeling dismissed because mom and dad are so busy. And mom and dad aren't doing that on purpose. It's
mm-hmm.
that they're just putting one foot in front of the other. They're on the hamster wheel of life.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you have to get yourself off that hamster wheel, at least for a few moments a day, Otherwise, before you know it, you blink your eye and your child goes from 4 to 18. And these are the moments that are precious. Childhood is our foundation. It is what leads us to who we become. And so I wrote the book, in essence, to really help teachers to be more mindful in the classroom and also to help parents to be more mindful with their children.
That is so important because in our we were blessed to be in a really wonderful school district where we live here in Marin County and the Kentfield School District, and they have amazing teachers in there. In fact, one of the teachers that was Alex's, Xander's teacher in fifth grade, and I think he had her again in seventh grade, a wonderful woman named Jenny Walsh. I had her on my show earlier this year, and the teachers there are so amazing. They are so wonderful, and I'm so thankful that he had them. And I can just picture that you would be a perfect teacher for this school district. They would just love you, and it would add even more to the school district. But she liked my book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. I had called her to tell her how well Xander was doing and how well he did in college and that he's working in his dream career of working in film and in Hollywood, and he majored in film production. And so she asked me to come and talk to his eighth grade class, Vicki, and I went and did a talk for the whole eighth grade, which was amazing, 10 years after he graduated from eighth grade at Kent Middle School. And it still chokes me up just thinking about it, you know, about talking to all of these eighth graders 10 years after Xander was there and graduating from it. So, you know, like you, my book, I wanted my book to help parents, kids, children, adults, anyone, love themselves, love what they do, and love the world they live in. And, you know, I think actually, to tell you the truth, both of our books would be great for people to read together because yours focuses more on our own childhood and about our children and their childhood and that aspect of it. And mine, I started writing when Xander was closer to 12, you know, just little bits on yellow pads of paper originally, and then I hired him to type parts of them, parts of it, and so he absorbed a lot of it that way, and he would help me proofread it. And he had originally said, I was writing a book at first on color way back when, and he said, "But Mom, I thought you were writing a book that was for me too." And I realized at that point, Vicki, that I wanted to write a book for him and for my family, friends, clients, anybody, you know, about what I'd learned that's helped me love myself and love what I do and love my life and share that. And you do that so beautifully in your book, sharing stories that are, you know, you let yourself be very vulnerable and you let people know how you were really feeling. And I did that as much as I could in my book as well. And I'm learning more and more, though, that how important it is just to be honest with people about how we feel and how we learn those lessons, because I think that's what helps them get it, is by the stories in the books, not just do this and you'll be happy.
Right, because that makes it relatable. You know, oftentimes people read a book and they'll read the book from the author and they put the author on a pedestal and think, you know, they're better than me. They think this subconsciously in the back of their mind. They've already got life figured out. They've got, you know, everything under control. But the truth of the matter is that we were just given the gift of being a writer, of putting our thoughts into words and to help people to understand that as we've ebbed and flowed, as we've gone on the roller coaster of life, this is what we learned from it. And so if we can help anyone with that, then by all means we want to do that. And it doesn't mean that at any one point that, you know, we've got this. Like, we're always growing, we're always changing, and we're always learning. You know, I'm no different from you, from anyone who's listening, from Dr. Wayne Dyer, from Oprah Winfrey. We're all essentially made of the same substance. And it's just being able to help one another. It doesn't mean I know more or I know less. It just means that I know what I know and I'm willing to share that.
I know. That's exactly how I feel about it, too. As it's been said so many times, we're all students and we're all teachers and we can all learn from each other, and we do, you know, as long as we're open to learning and willing to be a lifelong learner. And I think that's one of the things that you and I have in common and that a lot of the other authors from Hay House, and not just Hay House, but authors of that sort that write books about what they've learned that have helped them enjoy the journey of life, enjoy their time here on this beautiful planet that we get too busy to even notice. And speaking of that, it reminds me, you said that you'd be willing to, you'd love to give out to my listeners a free gift of a short 11-minute meditation that can be done with children or as an adult. And it's on your website at vickisavini.com/happy-place. And I checked that out. I did it, and I loved it. And I've got a picture on my screensaver on my computer on my background that's of my happy place. One of them, anyway, is of the Hyatt Regency Maui, because we went there for celebration vacations, and that's what's the picture on the cover of my book also, a picture that I took there, a sunset picture. But, yeah, it's like listening to that was wonderful. I love that, and I highly recommend that people go to your website and download that meditation and imagine their happy place.
Yeah, we do that every day in my classroom right after lunch and recess. The kids have lots of energy, and to quiet their minds and bring them back down and get them ready for learning, we go to our happy place. And so it's really just a short meditation, and it got to a point in the middle of the year that one of my first graders asked if she could lead the meditation, and then I was actually leading meditation for our whole school because I run character education assemblies, and I asked her if she wanted to lead the meditation. So this little 7-year-old taught over 600 children and about 100 adults how to go to their happy place.
I love that.
Pretty
amazing. I just love that. Oh, my God, Vicki, that is so cool. That is absolutely awesome. Those children are so lucky to have you as their first grade teacher. That is just so awesome.
Yeah, I'm lucky to have them too. You know, this week started our camp series for the summer, and we have two series that we do. We have Girls Rule, and then we have Boys Rock, and we're in the program right now for Girls Rule. And one of the parents said, you know, she loves being here, and we love having you, and I wish that we had had you for a first grade teacher, and, you know, we're just so blessed. And I said, you know what, I feel blessed to have these kids here, because as I'm teaching them, I'm actually learning so much from them. And it just makes me feel wonderful to know that I can give them these tools. And when you see the little light bulb go on, when, you know, they'll bring up being bullied or having someone leave them out and how they felt. And when we do the work that we do and we teach them how to look in the mirror and do mirror work and affirmations and power yoga and all of these amazing things we do, when you start to see the light bulbs going on and when you hear what they're saying when they go home and how their parents are saying, I don't know how this is possible that they could turn this around in a day or two, it really, it brightens the light that you have within you as well, because you know that you're spreading joy. And for me, that's really what it's all about. You know, I never wrote a book to make tons of money, and never had that intention. My intention was to get the book in the hands of parents and teachers so that we could all ignite the light within our children and within ourselves, because we are all meant for this beautiful, amazing life. And sometimes we just get off the path.
Oh, it's so true. And, you know, the other thing that I was thinking of back when I was mentioning about Wayne Dyer's tape. So one of the things, most important things I learned from him in those was that children model what they see us do, what they hear us say, not what we tell them to do, you know. And so that's when my son was really young, when he was a baby, my goal was to be the best mom, role model, and friend I could be for him, and I still am. And realizing that I need to work on so many areas to be a better role model for him, for my clients, for my family, but at the same time, it's good for me as well, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, the time is absolutely flying by. It always does, and there's only a little over 5 minutes left. So I just wanted to say that next week's show on Wednesday, July 23rd, 2014, my guest will be Jake Ducey. And We'll be talking about the music he hears calling him at the age of 23, which he turned today. Today's his birthday. Happy birthday, Jake, if you listen to the show. And the music he hears calling him includes his book, his first book, Into the Wind, and also a new book that he's writing. And I'll be posting the link for the show on Facebook and Twitter, and you can also sign up for my email list on my website at margojoydenader.com to receive updates on what shows and guests are coming up next. And it's going to be a great show, Vicki. I hope. He's so inspiring. I met him at a writer's workshop, an all-day writer's workshop.
Yeah, I'm actually Facebook friends with him, and I've spoken with him on the phone. It was a long time ago, about a year ago. I think I met him through Michael Eisen, as a matter of fact, and he's, you know, one of those young people on the horizon who really is feeling his feelings and expressing his truth, and it's just beautiful to see.
Oh, it is. And I was reviewing the, I think it was the I Can Do It regular conference down in Pasadena that year. I think it was like 2011. And I signed up for the all-day writer's workshop to review that. And I was sitting in, I always like to get there early, and I was sitting in the front row, middle of the front row. And Jake came in just after I did. And so he sat next to me. And then Louise Hay ended up being just to the left of us. It was awesome. She ended up spending the day in there with us, too. But he had brought a copy of his manuscript for his book, and he had wanted to give it to them, and that's one of the first things they tell the people at the writer's workshop, the same as at Movers and Shakers, is they can't take any manuscripts. And he was so disappointed, but he ended up giving me a copy of his manuscript, and so that's how I first met him. And then when the book came out, I think it was last year, I don't know, I can't remember when it was, but I went over to hear him speak. He came to Marin County. He was at Open Secret Books, and I went to see him speak, and I was so proud of him. He did such a great job of speaking about his book and about his travels, and I don't know if you've read his book, but it is an inspiring book. I really enjoyed it. It's a short one.
No,
but really
I have
inspiring.
Not read it yet, no. Yeah? But, yeah, he
yeah.
sounds like a terrific, you know, young man, and he's out there doing great things in the world, and he's a beacon of light for his generation, and that is just positive and amazing.
It is, and, you know, it's funny because he's turning 23 today, and my son, our son is 24. He turned 24 on January 1st. He's born on January 1, 1990, so it's always easy to remember what age he is. But the funny thing is that both of them had totally different paths. Xander knew what he wanted to do. I wanted him to do work that he loved for a living. He knew where he wanted to go to college. He was definite about it. He worked hard, got a half-tuition merit scholarship to go to Chapman University, did really well there, and he's working in his career. And that was the right path for him. But not for all children is it right to go directly into college. And it's
right.
so expensive that, you know, I mean, even if you love what you're doing, you have a lot of student loans and parent loans and other things to pay off later, not to mention all the time. So I think that it's great that he's inspiring some kids to realize that they need to take some time off and think about it before they go.
Right, because, you know, you don't always know exactly what you want to do at that age. And, I mean, even for me, my first 2 years of college really were a waste, and I was at a four-year school paying more than I needed to be paying.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know really what I wanted to do, and I changed my major 3 times, and that is common for most young students because they think, well, I'm done with high school, now I have
mm-hmm.
to go to college, but
mm-hmm.
they're not really sure what they need to do. They haven't grown into themselves, and, you know, in America, we have this expectation on our kids, and it's not necessarily a great expectation to have because there's so much that they need to learn from life before they make those decisions.
That's so true. You know, Vicki, we're running out of time. They're going to cut us off pretty soon. But I'd love to have you on the show again sometime and when we can talk more about more details about your book because there's so many wonderful things in it. And I highly recommend everybody. I highly recommend everybody goes to your website, checks that out, The Happy Place, and also get your book, Ignite Delight. And I want all of you out there who are listening to think about the music you hear calling you and do us a favor and live your music, please. It will help the whole world. Bye for now, everyone.